All right, welcome everybody. Today is Sunday, November 28, 2021. This is a live teleservice. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. The message today is the Law of Reciprocity. And I am Dr. Mary Craig. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you again in Christ, Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience and an obedience that led him to the cross to take the punishment for our sin, to satisfy divine justice in our behalf. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, to you, Lord God, his Father. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again the third day, as was foretold. And Lord, you accepted that offering, and Jesus is the beloved. And we thank you, Lord, that we are the beloved in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus' righteousness imputed to us. And we thank you, Lord, that for the sending of the Holy Spirit, giving the Holy Spirit, how much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so, Lord, we do ask for the Holy Spirit today. Lord, we thank you that we have the Holy Spirit, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to come as a spirit of truth, to guide us into the truth of your word, to come as the spirit of wisdom, to grant us wisdom and discernment, especially for the time in which we live. And, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, who is a spirit of holiness, will help us every day to be holy as you are holy, becoming. We are becoming. You, Lord God, are being. You just are. And we are becoming. We are not becoming God, but we are becoming what you have declared us to be. And so we ask for that power, the ability, and all the things that come to us provided by the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, applying to us what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And we ask it, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so we're in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. Living in that kingdom means being under God's rule and God's reign. We've been discussing the law of cause and effect, in which we stated that God is the sovereign cause and man or human beings are the responsible moral agents and secondary causes. And we are free moral agents. And to explain that again a little bit, the heart is in the hands of the Lord. And God is sovereign in turning the heart whithersoever he will. And so our decisions that we make follow the heart. So God works in the heart. So we need God, to the Holy Spirit, to grant us these things like faith and repentance. It all comes to us as a gift. Faith is a gift. Repentance is a gift. God is the source of all that is supplied. And so we ask for that. And then with that, with the heart turned towards God, whereas it was turned away from God, and actually we were by nature children of wrath, we are turned to God in our hearts, and then we want to receive Christ, and then we want to repent of our sin, and we see ourselves as the Word of God tells us we are, who we are without Christ, who we are in Christ, and all of it comes to us by the power of God. And so it is all of God and all of Jesus and none of us. Okay, so we're free in that sense that we will make our decisions based on the condition of our heart. So one aspect of the law of cause and effect is we reap what we sow. But the law we're going to talk about today is often called the law of reciprocity, from the word reciprocal, you know, like back and forth. Basically, it's when we talk about as we give, so it will be given unto us, or as we do unto others, so it will be to us, or as we extend mercy, so God will extend mercy. I call this as we do, God will do. As you do to others, God will do to you. And as you do to God, God will do to you. So as we do to God and others, God will do to us. And so we're to treat others as we would like others to treat us, and that includes God. Okay. So let's look at this first one under as we do, God will do. For this, we're going to turn to the book of Obadiah. Oh, my goodness. We just all know Obadiah. Obadiah and the Minor Prophets. Obadiah is located in the Bible between Amos and Jonah, unless it moved. Hopefully, Amos and Jonah. It's just one chapter. It's not very long at all. So in verses 15, 16, and 21 of Obadiah, we find this. For the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. Because just as you drank on my holy mountain, all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and swallow and become as if they had never existed. The deliverers will ascend Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. So, it's very strong language, Obadiah. You can read all of it. Doesn't take long. So here we can see, as we do, God shall do to us. In a season of judgment and divine justice, God righteously judges evil and punishes rebellion. Through judgment comes deliverance. God delivers and brings salvation to his people and restores his righteous ones and his righteousness and his righteous order that his people might take joy in him. God is the mighty hero who saves. And the picture of that, I don't know, I'm, you know, a lot older. I don't know who it would be today. But my hero who saves is like, for my generation, it was the Lone Ranger who would ride in on the white horse, and he was the masked, who is that masked man, right? It's the Lone Ranger, and he would come in on his horse. And the horse would rear up, you know, and save the day. Or there was Mighty Mouse, who was Mighty Mouse. And Mighty Mouse would come in and kind of fly in and save the day. So that's the idea here. God is the mighty hero who saves. He comes in and saves the day, and you know, like that. Okay. And that's actually one of my favorite names for God. And I call upon his name, Mighty Hero, who saves quite often. All right. God wants us, and that's from Zephaniah chapter 3. You kind of have to do a little research into it, because a lot of the names of God are hidden. They're not so obvious. They are in Hebrew, but when they translate them, a lot of times they take the punch out of it, the strength out of it. And so, you know, it's like watering it down. Hebrew is pretty graphic, graphic language. And so it's, you know, like that. And sometimes you'll only get the real meaning in the margins, or it'll say literally blah, 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 something. And so, but if you diligently seek the Lord, and all these names are very important, because we call on the name of the Lord that we might be saved. And that's not just receiving eternal life through Christ. That's like he saves the day. He comes in and saves the day quite often. Okay. God wants us to take joy in him and in his salvation. Everyone, everything is under the dominion of the one true and living God, the creator, source, and sustainer of all life. And therefore, God is worthy of honor, praise, trust, and obedience. Now, we've talked about Jeremiah 18, verses 5 to 11, and verses 15 to 17 before. It is what I call God's foreign policy. Yep. Can they come in? But let's just turn there to Jeremiah 18 and consider that again today. Now, as I read this, remember, we're talking about the law of reciprocity. So this time, as we go through, the big topic is law of cause and event. But as we go through it this time, think about the law of reciprocity. As we do, God will do. Or as you do to God, as you do to others, God will do to you. Okay, where does that come from? Listen again to Jeremiah 18, verses 5 to 11. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I've planned to bring on it. Or in another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good with which I had promised to bless it. So now, then, speak to the men of Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning calamity against you and devising a plot against you. Oh, turn back, each of you, from its evil way and reform your ways and your deeds." And that's Jeremiah 18, 5 to 11. And then let's listen to verses 15 to 17. Here's the reason. Because man is a secondary cause. "For my people have forgotten me. My people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths," like they've gotten onto the side, off the main trail to some little side trail, "not on a highway, to make their land a desolation and an object of perpetual hissing. Everyone that passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. Like an east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity. Okay, so as, unquote, so as we do to God, God will do to us. And notice that here, God's voice was not obeyed and he was forgotten. People had forgotten him and they were worshiping other gods. So this is for idolatry, and idolatry, God considers idolatry as spiritual adultery and robbing him and all kinds of things. It you know, is not good. Okay. His voice was not obeyed, and he was forgotten. The key to the law of cause and effect is the admonition, remember the Lord your God. Let's see what happens when we do that in conjunction with this law of reciprocity. As we do to God, God will do to us. You see, Jeremiah 18, verse 15 says that when we forget God, we have caused ourselves to stumble in our ways. We corrupt ourselves. That's all through Scripture. We corrupt ourselves. God holds us accountable for our responses to him, and he acts accordingly. Romans 15, verse 5 says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it is that God also, besides granting faith and repentance and grace and mercy and all good things, God grants perseverance and encouragement. And he grants, the prayer is that we be of the same mind with one another, also granting that we persevere and we encourage, we are an encouragement to others. In 1 Peter 5, we read, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. From First Peter chapter 5. God yields the good things of the kingdom, first of all, to those who struggle. Secondly, to those who keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. Third, to those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Fourth, to those who press on and press through. God rewards diligence, faithfulness, and persistence, as we will come to see. First of all, let's consider God yielding the good things of the kingdom to those who struggle. The one who is determined to achieve God-given goals despite obstacles and tribulation wins. God rewards those who diligently seek him. This struggling and wrestling demonstrates a persistent, aggressive faith. Not a violent faith, not violent. Like, I'm not talking about getting God's faith and get what you want kind of faith. I'm talking about being persistent. I really want this. I want to know you, God. I'm going to take the time. Here's this. I know that there's something here that you're trying to reveal to me, a name, your name, that's being obscured by in our modern translation, watered down. And I want to know that name. I want to know. You are Jehovah Gabor, mighty hero who saves. Like, here comes the cavalry or whatever. Meaning the horses. Here they come. Watch out. Okay. So our example on this kind of struggle is Jacob. Didn't you guess? And we find that in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob was alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And we're talking pain. This is real pain, folks. This is real pain. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, meaning Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So that is persistence, even in the pain. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Now some say the name Israel means prince with God. Others say the meaning is God rules. And then others, you know, the reference books say that the literal meaning is one who fought / struggled with God. And it comes from Genesis 32 where it says, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, tell me your name, I pray. And then he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. Okay, so what do we learn from this? Well, we learn a lot more than what I'm going to relate, but anyway. Jacob wrestled and won the blessing. It cost him, but the blessing had supreme value and was worth the price he paid. You see, Jacob was willing to contend with God at a time of desperate need in his life. He knew that God had willed to bless him, and he would settle for nothing less than the full inheritance. He had tenacity, and it caused him to prevail. He persevered for what his inheritance was to be. And this is what we need to do as well. We must accept nothing less than our full inheritance in Jesus Christ. What is ours in Jesus Christ, all that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, we are to seek after and ask and seek the Holy Spirit who applies to us what Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. God is building and planting the kingdom of God. He tells us to obey his voice. He tells us to remember him. Remember the Lord your God. And it's a very... You know, God has no fear. The Holy Spirit has no fear, as I have discovered. No pit is so deep that God's love is not deeper. And so, you know, he just, pretty amazing when you see God in action, see God working. He's working all the time. So, Just ask him and have a little spirit of adventure because you never know. All right. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not or do not lose heart. We reap what we sow. We are to sow the righteousness of God, and we will reap of that righteousness. sow the righteousness of God, sow the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we will reap of that righteousness. That is just part of the spiritual law. We reap what we sow. God yields the good things of the kingdom to those who fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. Keep the faith. The faith. We're not talking about the faith, but there is in the Bible what is referred to as the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. But faith has an object, keep what? Well, that's for you to discover. May God grant us perseverance to finish, even as he preserves us. We persevere because God preserves us, and God is faithful to keep covenant with us. Amen. And so, Father God, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, that you care for us. And even if we are not sure that you care for us right now, we know that the Word of God says that you care for us, and we can read Habakkuk. We can read the little short, powerful message of Habakkuk and know that you care. Everything could be falling apart, but you care for us. And that answers the question, does God care? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And so, God, we thank you for that. We thank you. We ask you for the perseverance to finish, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to enable us to be faithful, to keep covenant with you, even as you are faithful to keep covenant with us. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. And let us remember the Lord our God and grant us grace, O God, to obey your voice. Your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.